Good evening, I want to welcome everybody to the City Council meeting in Shore Acres on Monday, February 22nd, 2016, at 7 p.m. First line of business is roll call, Mr. Stahl.
Alderman Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCowen.
Present.
Alderman Snell.
Present.
Mayor Moses.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Adams.
Present.
Alderman Wheeler.
Present.
Mayor Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. That being said, we're on item 2.0, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. On the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Moving on to item 3.0, special presentations, there was none tonight. Moving on to item 4.0, approval of minutes. 4.1, regular council meeting, February 8th, 2016, council's had time to review that, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. James, do we have a second?
Okay.
Thank you, Alderman Snell. That being said, any questions to council? If none being, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. The ayes have it, thank you very much, council. Moving on to item 5.0, council reports request. 5.1, Mayor Moses, 5.1.1, update on State Highway 146, sound wall progress.
Okay.
As you can tell, the wall's gone up quite quickly since they changed the contractors out. The painting on the north side is pretty much complete. They're still working on the south side of the wall. I did have a few residents who are not very happy with the TxDOT because they wanted some different sections cut out that we had talked about with a little bit deeper gap for flood around the pond area in the back. But after talking to TxDOT, what is there is going to stay there. The wall will be completed and painted. The engineers from the state of Texas have deemed that that's safe and what it's got is just fine. They will not do any further improvements or changes to the wall. They actually spent $300,000 and changed out the total wall to do the aggregate that we had requested, everybody that we put out there that lived against the wall. And so they did that, so they're not going to spend any further dollars or cents or do any other changes to the wall. So what is there, folks, enjoy, because there's not going to be any changes to it. So to this point, I'm going to put it to rest. There's no more calling back and forth. I told them I wouldn't bother them anymore. They've got me on a first-name basis up there. So we'll enjoy the wall for what it is. And I hope everybody enjoys it as much as I do. I like the privacy back in my backyard.
Mayor Moses?
Yes, sir.
I would like to comment on that.
Go ahead.
I would like to say that since this thing started, it seems like a long, long time ago. It was actually only about in the March of May or April of last year when the citizens really came and brought it to council's attention. You have spent an extraordinary amount of time doing this, and I appreciate the effort you're doing, and I appreciate the finished product. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. James. I appreciate that. Moving on to item 5.1. Point two, items of community interest. I don't have anything going on at this moment or anything to bring to attention, so I'm going to move on to item 6.0, public hearings and public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council and comment on items of which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council. Dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law participating in discussion, deliberation, and items specified identified on this agenda. With that being said, I usually start off to the right, so I'm going to start to the right. Either one of you ladies like to address? Mr. Moyer, please.
Take this church.
Your name and address, please.
I'm Neil Moyer, and I live on North Country Club Drive. I would like to address several items which I think are on the agenda. Item 8.2, the item to move ahead with the financing for repair and improvements of the sewer system on West Country Club. So disappointed that this took this long to take place. It would have been nice if it had taken place last week, but apparently there were some people who couldn't seem to get together. Item 8.3 on moving the funding around to try and pay for this activity. I've noticed some comments that have been made various places, but I think rather than continuing to kick the issue down the can down the road, I think the council needs to take a big bite and start considering how we're going to finance these things. Moving funding around maybe a convenient availability, but it really doesn't address the issue of how we move forward to pay for this and how we move forward in the future to pay for the inevitable future repairs. See some commentary. Future repairs are probably going to have to be determined by TVing sewer lines, since that's how we found out how debilitated this line was. So there needs to be some money in the budget for a minimum that activity, and some reasonably good, for want of a better term, guesses of where the first targets of opportunity are. Needless to say, city administrators said the next one that poses the greatest threat to the city is a 3,000-foot line under 146. And I can assure you, if we have to install flushometers in everybody's toilet or have uneven days, it's going to be a tight time around here.
Moving along to item 8.5 with regard to speed limits and speed zones. This is unfortunately one of these areas where apparently our Texas legislatures butted into what should be local home rule and home rule prerogatives. Seems to me if we've got the authority and capability to set speed limits at places like Highway 146 without having to do special studies that cost and are unfunded mandates by the Texas legislature, we ought to be able to leave the speed limits where we have them now, some of them which were adopted by ordinance, and move forward. Unfortunately, we may not be able to do that, but I do make the observation that 25-mile-per-hour speed limit is different than a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. Just look around at your neighbors, since they're more likely to be the ones who are exceeding the speed limit, along with the school district's bus drivers and the parcel delivery folks. There is a big difference between 20 and 25 miles an hour. I can assure you, you have to pay attention to pull it down to 20. And when people think that 25 means 30, it's a big difference.
Lastly, I'd like to comment on item 8.7. I think it's a little premature at this time to be bringing this topic on the city administrator's contract. I see some elements that may have been proposed that I think may have some unintended consequences going forward in the future. And I think some of the items in there have some very poor optics. And while optics may not be a legal term, it does have a consequence considering the firestorm that some people seem to be able to set off just by expressing that there's a topic on the agenda and everybody ought to catch their hair on fire and have their heads explode. That's all I have to say tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moyer.
Darden Gamble Bay, 616 Baywood. A way that has one of the city administrators' contract. I think it would be in the best interest of the city if Mr. Stahl's contract would be left up to the incoming newly elected alderman, which I know we will have two. And there's too many issues in the proposed changes. Another topic, heavy trash. Ken and I drove through the city yesterday, and people continue to put out brush, branches, and we don't have heavy trash pickup. And like I said last time, I think it would be very advisable to use the telephone system at least one time to tell people there is no heavy trash pickup, because they're going to continue to put it out there. I have a big pile in front of my house that attracts varmints, critters. It's not healthy. It's a health issue on top of everything. Okay, the sewer repair. I'm under the impression that you commit to a bid. And from what I gather reading this, $350,000 is wanted and the bid is right at $250,000. And I think you should vote on the bid and not a lump sum of money that can be just used anyway. And then the final one is the speed limit. We may be out of compliance with the state, but 25 miles an hour through this city is too fast. Kids are in school right now, but summer's coming. And they don't look out. I live on Baywood, and the only thing that's saving grace on Baywood is that stop sign, if people stop at it. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And on a closing note, with that in mind, until you have lost a loved one through an auto pedestrian accident like I have, you will never know the heartache of what that is. So remember that. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else in the back? Thank you, Victor.
Sherry Victor, 3346 Miramar. This is reference to the ordinance raising the speed limit from 20 to 25. First of all, I don't like the process. There's been no discussion, and we've got an ordinance submitted by city administrator who's not a resident and really isn't around here in the evenings and on weekends to observe some of these roads involved. Now, I'm really concerned about the park area. We got two parks, Miramar, and of course that Circle Park. You got a lot of kids that congregate in both areas. And on Miramar, there's people walking all the time. You got kids on bikes, skateboards, ladies pushing their babies, you got joggers, you got all kinds of people there. Now, that raising it from 20 to 25, why has this city decided to do that when others nearby, Deer Park, LaPorte, there's several others that have 20 mile per hour speed limits? And I'm not talking school zones, I'm talking throughout the city. Deer Park has over 100 streets that have 20 mile per hour speed zones. Now, why have we decided that we need to follow the state law? Is this really a state law? Is there another option? I mean, do we just accept everything thrown at us? Let's look in the other direction and try to find some solution or option. We should hire an attorney to look for options. Now, our two of those roads I mentioned border park our parks. And, of course, in the state law, it says if a road goes through a park, you can assess a 10-mile-per-hour speed limit. Now, I was talking to one of my neighbors who lived here forever, for the last 50 years. At one time, Miramar, the park was wider. They put the initial drive in the corner of what he told me, the initial street went through the park. So maybe that's what the city's planned for right now. Maybe the park really is on the house's side of the road, too. So in that case, it would be a road going through a park, and a 10-mile-per-hour speed limit would apply. All I'm asking is that you, as council, give this more research and look at options. If you need to hire other attorneys to see if there are other ways to get around that requirement, do it. Protect the citizens, protect the kids, and protect the community. Thank you.
Coming this way down the front.
I got a question.
Please.
It just brought to my attention. Just a couple things that just brought to my attention. I just hang up. David Tidwell, 338 Sunrise Drive.
Thank you.
This amendment to professional employment agreement with the city administrator. You hear a lot of talk in the neighborhood, and I don't know who to believe, but I think that needs to brought out the specifics of exactly what that entails. What are the repercussions of the benefit as far as the city of Soar Acres is? And something about on the sewer lines that we're running, there's some money that's not here that should be here or something that I just heard a lady talk about the $350,000 and $200,000. Maybe that's where it's coming from. But just something in clarification, if y'all could tell us exactly where this deficit's coming from. These are just the two things I just like to address. I'm just hearing rumors, so I want to hear from you guys, see what it's about.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's Tidwell, correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
My name is James Hester. I'm at 3523 Bayou Forest Drive. I want to say that I'm backing all the people that have spoke here already, 100% of what they said, and then I want to add mine. So the 8.5, the speed zones. So yes, you increase that to 25 miles an hour, people are going to say, okay, no, that's 30. You know, everybody, I'm sure everybody, it's a broken record, but, you know, if it's a state requirement, there should be a way that we can get around that. You know, the on the 146, the highway, the 60-mile-hour deal, I mean, I don't see that being an issue, but in the neighborhoods I do, people walk, cycle. You know, they're already, for example, on Bayou Forest, they go at least 40 on that road many times. So, you know, if you increase that to 25, they're going to say 30. So instead of going 40, they'll go 50. So, anyway, I hope you guys are listening because there's a lot of people talking about this. And I'd love to stay for the rest of the meeting, but I have to leave. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, David Gerani, 3316 Miramar. And first thing, it's basically beating a dead horse, but it is on 8.5. I understand, I'm hearing that the state somehow has gotten some requirements that we have to do this. I'd like to know where this came from. Did the state come to us and say, hey, you guys are going to lose this, you guys are going to lose that if you don't do this, or are we going backwards on this? And if so, why? There should be, if we're the ones instigating this, it's kind of like we should leave sleeping dogs lying. I went through this stuff, about 7.5 years ago to try and get speeding reduced on Miramar, and they had it done. It was voted on. It was sent up. It was written about in Gidry News. And then it died. Now we're sitting here revisiting it. And it was a dead horse on speed bumps, but now people on Country Club want speed bumps. People on Bayou want speed bumps. Good luck on that, folks. My suggestion is here. I'm going to skip down just a little bit on sewer. We've got a speeding issue in the city. You've got most of these people here aren't here for speeding. We have an opportunity, and I've said this, and I've beaten another dead horse. We have a police department that has the ability to control speeding. And I suggest that we take some inventive ways of putting them in places rather than in the wide open and getting some revenue. We've got some huge issues to deal with. And personally, I would like to know where our revenue generation from speeding tickets comes within the city as compared to years past. Are we doing less? Are we doing more? I know 146, we're getting less because we don't have necessarily the opportunities that we used to have before the overpasses came. But there's a lot of revenue there. And it's one of the only ways outside of, I think, a cell tower is the only thing that we've gotten that has been a revenue positive thing that this city has done. We have a police department that can take care of some of that revenue. I know they're not going to come up with $300,000, $250,000 in a year. But they can definitely do more. And I'm not taking a chunk at them. I'm just saying, you guys can direct them, hey, pull off of the side street a little bit, let's get some people. I guarantee you, if you get a couple of citizens with a speeding ticket, and they do deserve it, if they're going 40 in a 20 or 40 in a 25 or something, they need to get a ticket or get a warning.
It'll slow them down. They'll tell their kids, because the kid's going to be on their insurance policy. It's got to get slowed down. It is crazy at my house, and I'm not there all day. But I watch people go screaming from the moment they hit Fairfield and take that corner, and they're wide open. They drop the throttle. And this is happening continually. I quit coming to meetings because I got tired of beating my head up against the wall. And here we are. We're going the opposite direction. I want to know where this came from. Did the state come to us and say, guys, you're going to get your asses kicked? Or B, are we going and saying, well, you know, they say this, so we got to go do it? What's the answer? And we're missing on a revenue opportunity here throughout the entire city. Byway, Sunrise, Shore Acres, Miramar, all speed zones. They're all speed zones. We need to deal with it. We need to not go this way. If this is from us going that way, we need to think of another way to go, spend our time, spend our effort, and let these people do something else. Like, figure out how we're going to pay for the $300,000 sewer system.
That more.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chuck?
Yeah. Chuck Hayes, 122 Meadow Lawn. I'm going to speak from a personal point of view on about Miramar. I walk that street 2 to 3 times a day. I'm not a young man anymore. I don't see too well. I don't hear too well. I don't walk fast. I walk my dog. At the speed limits that we've got and the number of people that speed through there, you know, I'm ducking cars quite a bit. There's no sidewalk. If there's a sidewalk there, there wouldn't be an issue as far as I'm concerned. But there's no walkway along the side of it. And we get quite a bit of rain here. And when it's raining, the people that do walk tend to walk on the pavement, as I do. And I have been in jeopardy a number of times because of people. The biggest problem I got are electric cars. I cannot hear them coming up behind me anymore. My ears aren't that good. And I'm not the only person over 65 that walks that place. I'll be 80 in a month and a half. And I'd like to keep walking it. And if you raise the speed limit to 25, I will not walk down Sunrise. I'm sorry. That's too dangerous. There's no place from Sunrise to go because of the ditches. That's just a fact. That's part of it. But the speeding on Sunrise, I had to quit walking on it. I was afraid I was going to get killed. And I've almost been hit several times on Miramar by people speeding. I got a picture of one very beautiful Maserati that was doing about 55 miles an hour down that street 2 days ago. Our police, I think, do an outstanding job in this town. They can't be everywhere all the time. But individuals like that have had to talk to Troy. They, you know, you only got to catch them once. And I think they're doing a fine job, but to raise that speed limit, in my opinion, it would be folly. And I'd like for you, the council, to do everything they can to prevent that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That being said, we're going to move on to item 7.0, administrator reports. 7.1, administrator reports, city administrator report.
Good evening. Good evening. The only item I have on the administrative report this evening is an update on the West Country Club Drive wastewater project status, which has fortunately been uneventful. Since our last meeting, we continue to bypass pump the section where the point repair was attempted, and we've not had any other difficulties or problems, so that's good. And that's all I had this evening on that.
On 7.2.
Monthly financial report. I would draw your attention to page one, the summary, general fund summary on page one. Our revenue, we're 4 months into the year, and we have brought in 50% of our budgeted revenue total. Of course, the bulk of that is property tax, which we received primarily in January and February. Our expenditures, by contrast, are only 27% of the budgeted amount. All over 33% through the year, and we had some of our large purchases, but we don't We don't have some of the large purchases reflected in that yet, so we're at 27% on expenditures. On the next page is the utility fund summary. The utility fund, likewise, is doing very well. Our revenues are 60% of budgeted revenues, while expenditures are only 21% of budgeted revenues. So these are through January 31st of 2016. We are on an accrual basis, but the monthly budget report is, for all intents and purposes, on a cash basis because it doesn't get caught up until we make it or we post a bill in our QuickBooks. I would then take you back to our checking account balances. Our general fund checking account balance is very healthy at $374,367.66. Our utility fund checking balance is $69,812.37. Our Texas Community Development Block grant fund at the end of the month balance was up from the $955 the previous month to $22,847.13. And that is the final reimbursement check going through that account on our grant. And and when that is done, we should next month be able to close that out. There'll be about $950 left in that fund of the $1,000 that we opened that account with the difference going to the cost of having that account. And that money will then go back to the general fund. The next page is our tax pool account. Our tax pool balance is $684,452.17 with a gain of $155.43 in interest. Our certificates of deposit and maturity, of which we have four, the combined maturity value is $255,852. And we have not received our January tax summary. This is their Tony Soprano would say busy season, and so it's a little slow getting the tax assessor collector report from the tax assessor collector. And I will certainly have that, and most likely the following month for the next financial report. The last page of the financial report is the sales tax revenue, and the general sales tax revenue in January is $7,221.08, and the road maintenance tax, $1,805.27. That's what the monthly revenue was. General sales tax, we've collected $24,878.77 fiscal year to date, and for road maintenance, $6,219.69. That's the financial report.
Thank you, David. Council, any questions?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Jimmy, please.
So Mr. Stahl, as we discussed last time, on the transfers, contribution from GF Reserve 4991-1 and 4999-2. Those reserves have not actually been transferred. Those are just numbers, and there's been no money transferred. So when you say that we have collected 50% of revenue in the GF fund and 60% in the UF fund, we really haven't done that other than on paper. Those monies have not been transferred. Is that correct? As it was last month?
You know, I know we're going to continue to have the same semantic difference of opinion, but that money was transferred when the budget was adopted. Yeah, that money no longer was in the reserve on the date the budget was adopted. That money was revenue in the budget, and that's how it works.
Right, but it's still counted in the tax pool account and in the CD accounts.
The tax pool account and the CD account are not reserves.
That's correct. So that money is still counted as, and when we have to draw it from there, then it will be counted against those funds.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we're talking about in the general fund, we're talking about $126,000. We have more than $126,000 in the checking account, so It could just as easily be the 126 that's in checking, or the 126 that's in a CD, or 126 that's in text pool. It's all the same money once it's budgeted.
Right, but it's going to come from somewhere eventually if we spend it. just want to be clear on that. Because as we discussed in the last council meeting, you decided to transfer, put those transfers on paper because you were tired of people misrepresenting, as in your words. But I just want to be clear that there's nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed. That money was appropriated with the budget.
Correct. Thank you.
Any other questions, Council? Moving on to item 7.3, annual charge of police department tier 1 partial information profile report by Chief Harrison.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. As you know, this is not the regular police report that comes to you tonight. This is actually a report that's required by statute and has to do with vehicle stops and racial profiling. We have a unique situation in this city, I believe, because we're such a transit city. Most of the traffic that we have in our city does not live in our city. It passes through our city sometime in the morning, and then it passes through again in the evening going home. So you have in front of you the racial profiling report for last year. There's nothing surprising here to me at all. The number that's different from last year to this year that I'll point out is on number 12 and 13, race or ethnicity known prior stop. Last year that number was zero because the citation books did not have a block to check that. We changed that when we bought new books. And now the officer is going to make a traffic stop. That box is checked whether the race was known prior to the traffic stop or not. If you've ever ridden in a patrol car, some of you have. It's not as easy to know who's driving that car when you stop it as you think it might be, even in broad daylight. So it does not surprise me that most of the stops, we did not know the race at the time the stop was made. So as you look at the numbers 5 through 10, I don't think there's anything there that should concern any city leaders. I think we're probably right in line with where we need to be. And if you have any questions over what the numbers mean, I'll be happy to answer them.
Questions, Council?
Well, listen, Chief, I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thanks, sir.
Sitting on the 8.0 business, 8.1 consideration approval of invoices at the Council's end time to review the invoices. I entertain a motion.
Make a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Alderman Snell. Any questions from the Council? If none being, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. The ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.2, consideration action to adopt resolution number 2016-162, expressing the intent to finance expenditures to be insured for repair and improvements of the city's water and sewer system. Mr. Stahl.
Okay. This is a document that preserves our ability to repay ourselves if in the future we desire to do that. This allows us up to 18 months from the completion of the construction to issue tax-exempt obligations in multiple forms, but tax-exempt obligations to pay back the money that we have used to do the repair. It doesn't obligate us to do that. It does require us to make a declaration before any money is expended. This is a requirement functionally of the IRS for the tax-exempt status. And so this preserves it. You'll see Exhibit A lists what the repairs would be covered, repairs, rehabilitation, and or improvement of sanitary sewer wastewater collection system lines, pipes, maintenance access, which are manholes, wet wells, pumps, and valves. That's a little broader than the scope of work that we currently have, but it's not as broad as they typically would be to cover all water and wastewater. The intent here is for this sewer project that we have. It is in the amount of $350,000. So that number, if council were to pass this tonight and leave that number in there, that caps how much you would be able to expend and have available to be borrowed against or be repaid in the future. This resolution was prepared by Tom Sage, bond counsel, Andrews Kirk in Houston. And as I said, it saves that position for us, doesn't obligate us to it, and lets us move forward without contemplating all the instrumentalities of an obligation tonight. For your reference, on the back of that,
Mayor Moses,
I put a memorandum.
Mayor Moses,
yes.
Make a motion to table.
Make a motion to table 2016-162. It's on the floor. Do we have a second?
I have a second.
Mr. Jennings, Mrs. Snell.
I make a motion to the table because we can take this up after we decide what we're going to do on 8.3 and 8.4. It seems to me to be way out of order, honestly. So if we want to take it up off the table after we decide what to do about the sewer project, then I think that's the appropriate point in time.
Okay, understood. We have a motion on the table. It's been seconded in 8.2. Any questions from any council, other council members?
So we're going to bring it up again if it passes the motion?
You'll pull it back off the table and bring it back to the...
Tonight?
Bring it to the table. If you do that, it's going to cause a motion on it, yes. This time, he makes a motion to take it off the table altogether at the moment. The idea is, my understanding, what you're saying, basically, is 8.3, 8.4, talk about those. If we need to come back to it, then you'll bring it back.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay. Am I correct what you're asking?
Yes, sir. 8.3 and 8.4 are the meat of the issue, and then we can talk on 8.4. If we need to bring it up from the table, we then bring it off the table at 8.2, after 8.4.
Yep. We're just putting in a different order.
Yes,
that is correct.
Okay.
So with that being said, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay.
Nay.